You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear the super legit lowdown on superfoods so you stop feeling super confused, super skeptical, or super stressed about whether or not to spend all your money on super expensive and super trendy superfoods. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. I'm not usually the fangirl type, but considering I have 5 out of 5 of today's guests' cookbooks, all of which I pre-ordered, squealed at their arrival, and have since splattered on, flagged, underlined, and cooked dozens of recipes from, I think it's safe to say I'm a super fan of Julie Morris. Julie Morris is a plant-based chef, a 5-time best-selling cookbook author, and an overall superfood superstar. And I'm not just saying that thing about the superfood superstar. It's not just a cute little term I decided to give her. She really is a superfood pioneer and a leading expert in cooking with superfoods. All of Julie's beautiful books, Superfood Kitchen, Superfood Smoothies, Superfood Juices, Superfood Snacks, and Superfood Soups have completely changed the way the world incorporates superfoods into their diets, me very much included. And to make this a double whammy of an exciting episode, my favorite superfood company, Amazing Grass, is sponsoring it. I am beyond thrilled about this because I do truly, honestly, and wholeheartedly adore Amazing Grass's amazing grass. You've seen me use Amazing Grass greens powder in my What I Eat in a Day videos. You've seen it in my Mind Body Green article about my daily diet. You've seen me give samples of it away at live events so others can become addicted to it too. And you've surely seen it in my Instagram, probably more than you see in my puppy, and that's saying a lot. You'd be lucky to have any and all of their superfood greens powders grace your lips, but my favorite are their watermelon-flavored energy, which has my beloved matcha in it, and their pineapple lemongrass multivitamin, which has probiotics and reminds me of my beloved trip to Thailand. To make Amazing Grass even more amazing, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40%, not some measly 10%, 40% off your Amazing Grass order if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use promo code PLANTPARTY40. That's PLANTPARTY40. And all that info is also linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/24. Okay, what a super long, super amped up intro. Let me super shut the heck up and get into this truly superb, bold ya, episode. Julie, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. I'm so really incredibly excited to talk to you today.
Oh, Talia, thank you so much. This is really, really fun. I'm so excited to do this as well.
Woo! Well, I am a huge, huge fan of your work. I was just telling you that I have your original printing of your first book, which now is called Superfood Kitchen, but I have it as Superfood Cuisine, which shows I'm a true devoted fan.
No, it really does. I mean, that was definitely my very first effort to get the word out and get my recipes out there. And I'm so flattered and so honored that you have that copy. I mean, that's one of 3,000 copies.
Oh, so wow.
That's a cool thing.
That is awesome. It's just, I mean, all of your books, Superfood Kitchen, Superfood Smoothies, Superfood Juices, Superfood Snacks, Superfood Soups are amazing. One is better than the next.
There's a trend there, yeah?
Yeah, I think I've got onto a pattern. So I'd love to first start by hearing how you and superfoods got into such a serious relationship.
It is quite a serious relationship. It's a very fun relationship long term. I'm definitely in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, I grew up in an environment that was very much non-healthy food friendly. I mean, a lot of people I think feel like because I'm from Los Angeles, born and raised, and I'm totally into superfood that like I was raised on wheatgrass shots or something like that. And the opposite could not be more true. Like my parents, they tried their best, of course, but you know, we had like macaroni and cheese and hot dogs and like vegetables, but they were, you know, just from a can or frozen vegetables. And You know, I started to get into vegetarianism when I was a kid, pretty early on for ethical reasons. And that was the first opportunity that I had to start making my own food. And it was really exciting because I've always been like this big foodie. And so I thought, you know, if I can make more of my own food, that just means I get to eat more yummy things. So it was like a win-win situation for everybody involved. And so by the time I went to college, you know, I was still vegetarian. I was starting to mess around with veganism a little bit. And, you know, those were all well and good things, except for the fact that I really wasn't paying any attention to the nutrition aspect, which is a road that anybody can go down regardless of diet. It had nothing to do with those specific diets themselves. It was just that I was basically eating whatever I liked, which included a lot of salt, a lot of chocolate, a lot of coffee, energy drinks. It was just like whatever I wanted, you know, exactly. And so, long story short, when I was in college, I was still cooking for myself, but I started to develop all of the symptoms of chronic fatigue syndrome. I think, personally speaking, it was a combination of my lifestyle, which was very stress-oriented, as well as my diet. Right. My diet was definitely not doing me any favors because it was tapping out my adrenals like crazy. And so it was a really frustrating, long, somewhat traumatic experience because I was 20 years old and, you know, you're supposed to be at the peak of your health.
Yeah.
And here I was, and I felt terrible. You know, I had trouble sleeping, and when I did sleep, I didn't feel rested and my skin was breaking out and I felt achy and I wasn't recovering after exercise. And
that's crazy to think, because you are the epitome of like glowing health now.
Thank you. As I feel like we all should be. I think I'm a firm believer that it's not anything magical or lucky. It's really just about what you put in. And our bodies are designed to be pretty good most of the time. And so, you know, because I went to doctors and nobody could really diagnose exactly what I had because it was all over the board, I started to take matters into my own hands.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating, you know, like so frustrating. And so, you know, they're like, take Benadryl when you have allergy attacks. I was like, well, that's really not a lifestyle
right.
choice. So I started to basically turn to the one thing that I enjoyed the most, and I guess I relied upon the most, which was food. And I had this thought, I was like, maybe there's something I can eat that will give me energy, which
what a radical idea.
Like, I talk about this a lot. It's the silliest idea when you think about it. Like, it's so sad that this would be a revelation
right.
for me.
Totally.
Because that's the reason why we eat.
I know. That's
the whole reason, you know? So I started to look up and research energy foods, and I came across these things called superfoods. And just keep in mind, this is back when you couldn't just roll up to Whole Foods and there would be like five different types of quinoa in the bulk section.
Right.
You know, like this did not exist. This was well over 10 years ago. This was probably about almost close to 15 years ago, mm-hmm. which is crazy. Mm-hmm. but it was a very new concept. And so like there were lots of superfoods that I was reading about and, you know, had been revered by cultures for thousands of years and fascinating stories, but I didn't know how to pronounce them. I didn't know what they were. And so I just decided to try a couple, and I ordered goji berries and maca root online.
From where? Who was even selling them?
It was like this raw food website, which had a bunch of superfoods mm-hmm. and had a bunch of just funky stuff on it. Just like, it should have been called like weirdfood.com because that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
It was like, weirder the better. So they had goji berries and maca. And I remember I got them. And even though I had spent so much time cooking, I had zero idea what to do with these things because, you know, there aren't any recipes out there at this time.
Yes, this was before your blog, which provides the abundance of superfood recipes.
Totally. Like there wasn't anything like this out there. So I decided, I was like, well, I'll just put them in a food processor, which is basically my answer, or most people's answer, really, when they don't know what to do with something. They're like, just blend it, you know?
It's really funny.
And so I blended it into like these little energy balls, and they were really not very good at all. But I kind of made a little commitment to myself. And that was essentially, I was going to try this so-called energy/superfood diet. I was going to stop drinking coffee. I was going to stop drinking energy drinks. And I was just going to go on my own little made up superfood diet and see if it could help. See what happened. I was my own guinea pig, basically.
Wow.
And basically, after a couple of weeks, it wasn't overnight, but after a couple of weeks, I noticed two things. The first was that I wasn't having any crazy energy highs. And initially, this really disappointed me because I was so used to being on stimulants, like you know, a Red Bull or something like that. And so I was expecting almost this like rush of energy throughout my system, which is very unhealthy. Mm. And I was a little disappointed at first.
So you didn't have wings?
No, I did not grow wings. No, none of that happened. I wasn't flying down the road. You know, like nothing like that was happening. But what was amazing, and what I realized at the same time, was that I also didn't have any energy lows. Mm. And that was huge for me, because no longer was I in the situation where I had to take a 3 o'clock nap, or I was waking up in the morning feeling like I hadn't rested at all. Instead, I felt this amazing thing called balanced.
Nice. So just like a steady state of just like no highs, no lows, just like cruising.
Just kind of overall good, like a human being,
nice.
Like how we're supposed to feel. And so like it was just a huge, huge mind-blowing experience for me, because it was the first time in my entire life where I realized that the food that I was eating was actually making me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly having that realization and having that connection to the foods that I was putting into my body was just, I mean, it was such a game changer. I can't even begin to explain it. And I realized that we have so much more control over the way that we feel than we give ourselves credit for.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing. It is. I agree. And so I just decided, I was like, you know, I was going to school for something completely different, and I dropped all of it.
Wow.
And decided that I wanted to pursue A, my passion for cooking, but more than that, B, make recipes that are for our modern day time, that you know, marry this knowledge of ancient foods with modern day taste sensibilities.
And needs.
That's really,
yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's what started all of it. And I have not looked back since. I mean, I've just, I've basically been doing everything that I possibly can to understand these foods, to get to know them in the kitchen, and of course, to share my experiences with other people, because that's what it's all about.
I love your story. I love that your passion for plants and superfoods really stems from wanting and needing more energy.
Yes.
Because that's also why I'm so passionate about helping people eat plants, because it's not about trends or even weight loss, really. I mean, that can happen once you start eating healthily, but it's really about having the energy to feel your best so you can just live your best life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you brought up things like weight loss, for example. One of the most amazing things is that when you do eat properly, and of course there is no perfection in this, it's an ongoing process, but when you eat with the intention of doing good for your body, what is amazing to me time and time again, not just with myself, but with people that I've been in touch with, things fall into place. It's fascinating. Aches and pains go away. Your weight gets balanced. You start to perform better at work. You start to perform better in sports. You start to be able to think a little bit better, sleep a little bit better. Things just become easier.
Right.
Things fall into place. And so I feel like the rewards are absolutely endless. And it's just amazing to me, the machine that is the human body and all of the things that we throw at it, most of us on a daily basis, that still don't take it down.
Right. I know.
It's not even close to being at its full potential. And I think that's what eating superfoods can really do for us, is bring us to that state of full potential.
Yes. So you can live your best life. And, you know, I feel like there are two schools of superfoods, right? I think there are like normal plants found in the produce section, like blueberries, garlic, or kale. And then there are the superfoods that are in the special superfood section of the grocery store, like goji berries or maca powder or chia seeds, that whole gang. So what do you consider a superfood?
So superfoods are the most nutrient-dense, benefit-rich foods found in nature. And really important to this definition is this idea of nutrient density. And this is really going to be what determines and separates superfoods from just good foods, because there is a difference. When we talk about nutrient density, we're not really talking about protein or carbohydrates or fat. These are all macronutrients, and those are very important, but those are the things that make up all calories. So it's very easy to get, frankly, all of those things. Micronutrients, on the other hand, are vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and phytochemicals, and the things that we need in very, very small quantities, but they're absolutely essential to our health and wellness. And so we really need to look to incorporate more of these micronutrients into our diet, because that is exactly what's making the standard American diet so deficient, so incredibly deficient. And that's where a lot of our cravings even come from.
Right.
So I feel like when you look at this micronutrient content, that's where superfoods really come out and shine. You can't even begin to compare them. Like, you take, for example, vitamin C, right? And we all know, when we think vitamin C, we think of like oranges. Mm-hmm. Oranges are a great food. I think everybody should eat oranges.
Yeah.
Absolutely. By all means, eat plenty of oranges. However, if you're looking for a superfood version, so to speak, of a vitamin C source, I would say try something like camu berries. You know, just in a teaspoon of camu berry powder, you have the equivalent to the vitamin C of about 7 to 8 oranges.
Wow.
In a teaspoon of this powder. So when you look at foods like that, comparing things like kale to iceberg, or shiitake mushrooms to white mushrooms, all these are good foods, but the superfood ones are the ones that really give us the most nutrient bang for every caloric buck that we eat.
I actually did not know this at all. I'm really having my mind blown right now. It seems, now that you say it, pretty obvious, but I guess because, you know, the media and all the propaganda and all the marketing is just calling everything a superfood, it kind of... I feel like you were on the superfood train, I guess, so to speak, before it became a catchphrase, right?
Very much so. That is exactly why that's exactly why I self-published my first book, frankly, because you know, the one that you have a copy of.
Oh, cool.
I pitched it to almost a dozen publishers, and all except for one turned it down. The one that said that they would publish it wanted to publish it as just this tiny little book with black and white photos. I was like, that is not going to work.
That's no, it's not. Your photos is your thing.
Not what the superfood lifestyle is about.
No, it's colorful. Oh my goodness.
It's colorful. It's
what? Black and white?
You know, it's full of life.
Yes.
So I decided to self-publish it because I knew that there was so much power behind these superfoods. And sure enough, within a couple of years, the trend, the catchphrase, like you said, really started to take on. And yeah, as you said, in a lot of marketing, you hear this terminology of superfood. I hear all the time, and I'm constantly kind of having to like defend certain superfoods as true superfoods and kind of knock some of them down a little bit. To me, though, it's not so much about the semantics. It's more about the mindset. I think that's the most important thing to really hear from this. It's not about like, well, are apples a superfood? It doesn't matter. What matters is, what can they give you? And is that what your body needs?
I like that. I like that a lot. And I like knowing now that, for real, from the expert on superfoods, a superfood is really just like a very highly concentrated, super packed form of nutrients, like a food yes. that provides like, whoa, like crazy amount of nutrients for a teeny weeny, like teaspoon, like you said.
That's exactly correct.
I love it.
And you can see how they would be tremendously useful in our diet. I mean, you take something like rice, and rice is a great food, you know, but it's not particularly nutrient dense. But if you were to make a sauce and just happen to include a little bit of wheatgrass, we'll call it, which has like 70 vitamins and minerals in it, all of a sudden, you're creating a very nutrient-dense meal as a whole. And so they're profoundly useful in so many different ways.
So somebody that's even eating not that healthfully, would you say doing what you just said, just cooking rice, which is fine, you know, it's whatever, but adding the wheatgrass, can people kind of get away with eating a crappier diet if they add superfoods?
I wouldn't go as far to say like, please eat pizza and then just have a little bit of wheatgrass and you're going to be fine. However, I am a big proponent of the ideology of it all adds up. Mm. So I believe that the more good that we bring into our diet, the less room there is for the bad. And over time, that can create a very positive change. So I don't think that somebody has to go out January 1st and just, you know, okay, I'm going to do nothing but greens all day. And, you know, except for maybe one banana and that's it. And everything in my diet is going to be 100% raw or whatever.
Whatever
extreme you want to go after. I think that there's definitely a middle ground there. I'm a realist. I'm married to a German man who loves his pastry, but he also loves, you know, things like goji berries, and he also loves his green smoothie. And I think that there is a realism that comes with a healthy diet that I feel like the nutrition community is starting to embrace. Mm. It doesn't sell quite as well in terms of the diet world, because that's all about extremes.
Right.
But when you talk to nutritionists, there is more of a middle ground. So I would say the more superfood action a person can do, the better. And if that's where you want to start with your healthy journey, that's a great place to do it.
Absolutely. I always say at the end of the day, the best you can do to feel your best is just eat more plants than you do crap. That's the goal. Just eat more fruits and vegetables than you do chemical, refined, processed, artificial foods.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
And now I'm super excited to talk about adding superfoods into it, because I mean, I eat a handful, but we're going to go through a list right now and play this little game called Superfood, Super Fact, Super Way to Eat It.
Yeah,
and you're going to tell us, you're going to tell us all this information. And I look forward to adding some more of these into my diet, because I mean, I use your cookbooks, but I guess I've never really internalized the way that you're articulating it, why I'm eating these things, which is silly, but I'm very excited personally. And I'm sure everybody listening is on the edge of their car seat if they're driving, or elliptical bike if they're on the gym. So first, I'd love to start with acai, which I'm curious what a awesome fact about acai is.
Well, acai is an interesting berry, because it actually originated in Brazilian surf culture. And that's kind of how it became popularized. Right along all the Brazilian waterfront, there were a lot of these acai cafes, so to speak, you know, cafes serving these acai bowls. And that's where the entire trend began. And basically, what people started to notice was the fact that, you know, these servers are out there day in, day out. They have a ton of energy. They're eating these acai bowls all the time. What in the world is going on? Well, it makes a lot of sense that acai would be such a wonderful energy food, because it's exceptionally balanced. It has a little bit of low sugar carbohydrate in it. It has a lot of plant-based fats in it, almost like an avocado would. So it's really, really good for anti-inflammatory progress, as well as, you know, your skin. And then on top of all that, it has a ton of antioxidants. And these antioxidants are primarily what make it purple, that mm-hmm. you know, beautiful purple color that we see.
Instagrammable
purple, absolutely. And this anthocyanin antioxidant, it helps a ton with circulation. So how would that translate to the surfers? Well, the The surfers are out there. They've got their heart rate up. They're sucking in oxygen, trying to catch that wave. If they have better circulation, that means that that oxygen is going to be transferring through their body more efficiently. And that can then therefore make them a better athlete. And that's exactly what that can do for us as well, whether we like to surf, whether we like to hike, or even if we're just trying to think a little bit better. Better circulation is one of the most wonderful things to enjoy. And it's one of the most sustainable forms of energy that we can create for ourselves through our diet.
I had no idea. I love acai bowls. I eat them all the time, but I didn't know all
delicious.
These fun facts.
Yeah.
Is that your favorite way to eat acai?
I actually use acai a lot in smoothies. I do like the acai bowls, but if I have them, I generally make my own only because when I go out to a cafe, most of the time they have a lot of added sugar to them and it's refined sugar and that really de-elevates the nutrient density and diminishes it. So I usually make my own and sometimes I'll use unsweetened frozen packs. Sometimes I use like acai powder, which is really fun to use. Both ways they're unsweetened and then I can just add frozen banana or I can add dates or something that's a little bit more natural. It still has sugar, but it's a natural form and so it has more benefits attached to it.
Right. So you're saying the packets that a lot of smoothie bars and stuff use, the packets are what's sweetened, right?
The packets are what's sweetened as well as most of the time they will add additional sweetener.
Oh, like agave or?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now, next is cacao nibs. And I want to also, so I'm going to differentiate between cacao nibs and cacao powder because I'm sure you use them totally differently. And I'm curious about that. But talk to us just about cacao in general, please.
Well, cacao would be one of the very best superfoods on the planet, which is great news for anybody who loves chocolate like myself.
Yep. You said it's your favorite food in your FAQs.
Oh, it's incredible. It's just such an amazing food. And we could do this entire podcast just on cacao if we had time.
Maybe around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly. But there really are so many benefits to cacao. Cacao nibs are, I guess you could call them a little bit more natural. They're slightly less processed. And I don't want to scare people away with that processed versus unprocessed terminology too much because with cacao, it's not a huge deal when it's still in its cacao form and not cocoa, which is something that's roasted and toasted and that's truly processed. But the cacao nibs are pretty cool because what you're getting is something that's very close to the way that nature actually intended it. Cacao grows on trees and the tree fruits these big, almost like football-like pods that are very, very colorful when they become ripe. And when you open up one of these pods on the inside, there's all of these huge seeds. And these are confusingly called cacao beans. I don't know why they're called beans, but they're seeds. They're just really, really big seeds.
Right. That's fine. Thanks for that, people.
They're not beans. They're not legumes.
Right. Okay. So they're like coffee beans.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they call
it that. Bigger. They're quite large. They're about the size of like a fava bean almost, like those really big beans.
Okay.
And so when you take these beans and you dry them out, take off the skin, and then just press on them a little bit, they will inherently fall apart and crumble.
Oh, into nibs.
That is exactly, that's exactly what nibs are.
They're so that's just, like they're pure.
That's very, very pure.
Yeah.
So for people who have never had cacao before, I would not necessarily say start with cacao nibs.
So
because
bitter.
They're unsweetened.
They're intense.
Very, very bitter.
Yeah.
Very bitter. But the moment that you combine them with anything sweet, of course, their flavor really becomes alive.
Mm.
So the cacao nibs are a very whole form of cacao. It has the cacao mass in there. It has the cacao fat in there. Of course, it is saturated, but it's a plant-based saturated, so it does not raise cholesterol. It's really important because a lot of people think like, oh no, it's high in saturated fat. It's bad for my heart. Nope, just the opposite. Cacao is actually a very heart-healthy food. It's also very high in antioxidants and minerals. So that's a really, really great kind of textural, crunchy way to enjoy cacao in all different types of recipes, from like sprinkling on oatmeal to adding into cookies and brownies to putting it on your Instagram smoothie bowl.
Perfect. Yeah. It's legal chocolate, right? That we can feel really good eating.
Absolutely. Without question.
Yeah. And then cacao powder. I mean, I use that in smoothies, or if I'm trying to sweeten, like, I get like yogurt if I'm trying to just make like a random little dessert, or banana ice cream. Do you bake with it?
Yes, you absolutely mm-hmm. can bake with it. Cacao powder is basically, it's the same thing as cocoa powder. It's just the raw form of it. So any recipe where you would put cocoa powder, you can put cacao powder in a 1-to-1 ratio.
Oh,
and from like a superfood standpoint, just kind of how we were talking about that whole nutrient density attribute, cacao powder would be far more nutrient dense than cacao nibs. Mm. Both are really good. But the thing about the cacao powder is it's actually had its fat removed and stripped away from it, leaving just the cacao mass. That means there's lower amounts of calories and higher amounts of minerals and antioxidants.
Huh.
So cacao powder itself is probably one of the most antioxidant-rich foods that you can eat out of all foods.
Wow.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Incredibly
chocolate.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you don't destroy the nutrients if you were to bake with it, if you were to heat it?
The thing about the nutrients that cacao has in it is that, fortunately, they're not particularly susceptible to moderate amounts of heat. Very high heat, the sort of heat that you need for roasting it, will start to deteriorate some of the antioxidants. Not all, but some. All of the minerals that cacao contains will stay absolutely the same. And cacao is also an incredible, incredible source of minerals, especially iron and magnesium.
There is a reason you are Miss Superfoods. You know everything. It's amazing. We did not prep for this.
I hang out with Superfoods every single day.
Yes, that's true. So talk to me about, I don't even know how to, Camu? I mean, do you have to say it once or twice?
I have no idea. That's another one of those things where I'm like, why is it called Camu? Like one
like
Camu
kava.
Was enough.
Yeah, like, right? So I mean, I feel like it's, I most commonly see it double time, Camu.
Yeah, I don't know. I see it both ways. I've recently seen it more just as Camu. I think most of us have just given up. We're like, it's Camu.
Yeah, it's kind of unnecessary. I think we get the point. There's not many other words that sound similar. So what is that? It's a berry. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Camu berry can almost be thought of like a rainforest cranberry.
Oh.
And so it grows along these floodplains, also in the Amazon. Lots of superfoods from that region, makes sense, hasn't been heavily farmed. So these berries, they grow in the flood regions, and then they rise up to the surface when the area floods. And they're actually traditionally harvested on canoes, literally. Like raking
Still,
up all
now.
Of these. Yeah. Raking up all these beautiful red berries. Camu is, as we talked about, like the number one source of vitamin C of any food yet discovered. It's more saturated than anything else. So it can be a wonderful food to boost a person's immunity, to enhance skin, to reduce inflammation. The list goes on and on. Anywhere right. where you would use vitamin C, that's where you could use, obviously,
well,
Camu.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah,
camu,
very much so.
C.
Starts with a C, you know? The one downside to camu is that you cannot cook with it. And I guess the second downside is that it's also very, very bitter. It has pretty much no sugar in it whatsoever. So this is the kind of thing that you definitely want to hide in your recipes. The good news is that you don't need very much of it in order to get those benefits. So this is the sort of thing where if you're making a smoothie, if you're making a smoothie bowl, if you're making a salad dressing, you throw in a pinch or a quarter of a teaspoon and you're going to be getting so much vitamin C.
Wow.
And you will never taste it.
Wow.
So when you buy that bag, I know it has like kind of a little bit of a sticker shock.
Yeah.
It is expensive, but that bag lasts forever. There's so many servings in it. So you don't have to worry about it going bad. It stays good for a really, really long time.
Oh, good to know. And in general, should superfoods be stored in the fridge, in the pantry? Does it depend on the superfood?
It does depend on the superfood. Most of these superfoods, these specialty superfoods that we're talking about here today, you know, they can be stored in the pantry. That's absolutely fine. The ones that have the higher fat content in them, like chia seeds or
hemp
seeds. Yeah. Those are things that I would definitely recommend. If you don't think you're going to go through it quickly, just store it in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Because that's going to help diminish any sort of oxidation within the fats. They'll last a lot longer. You don't have to, but just as kind of like a security.
So next we just, you know, prefaced our chia seeds, which are the superfoods I use the most. I probably use them every day in some way, shape, or form. Well, really just as seeds is the form. But anyway, why are chia seeds good and what is your favorite way to eat them?
I love hearing that you use chia seeds every single day. They are one of those foods where I feel like nobody has an excuse not to eat chia seeds. They're so easy to use and they have so many benefits, you know, fiber, tons of great healthy fats in them, tons of great healthy minerals in them. My favorite way to use chia seeds is probably, like you said, just sprinkled on things. I put them on top of hummus. I put them on top of salads. I generally like them whole better than I do in their powdered form. I don't really put chia seeds in my smoothies too often because I feel like I'm getting enough chia seeds throughout the day. But that said, I will use the ground chia seeds very often whenever I do any sort of baking, and which is just like an added bonus. And so they're just so wonderfully easy to use. They don't have a flavor. They're absolutely tiny. They are the epitome of a superfood.
Yes.
The benefits, small package.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I just love them.
They're so great. And chia pudding, I mean, I would say I mostly use chia seeds in chia pudding or just in smoothies.
Yeah. Chia pudding is absolutely fantastic as well. Super, super addicting. My one warning with chia pudding is that it is so delicious. And I know that sometimes people will think that a serving size is a little bit bigger than perhaps it should be.
Oh.
And chia seeds have a lot of fiber in them.
Right.
A lot of fiber. One serving, which is usually around a tablespoon and a half of seeds themselves, is a quarter of your daily fiber. So a lot of these chia pudding recipes that we see out there, they have like half a cup of chia
seeds. Mine has 3 tablespoons. Oh my God, am I making people fart?
Yeah. That's totally fine. I just wouldn't recommend having any more than that in one sitting. I've definitely seen it happen before where people have like pigged out on the chia pudding. And I've always just been pretty excited to get away from them as quickly as possible.
That is so funny. I actually did, because I have a video for my chia pudding, and I did have somebody message me and say, I don't know what is going on, but it is really giving me gas. And I was like, yeah, they're high in fiber, but I thought maybe she was uncommon, but you're saying it's kind of across the board.
I think it's just if you're not accustomed to eating a lot of fiber and you eat a lot of the pudding because it is so incredibly yummy.
Yeah.
You may have some problems.
Okay.
You know?
Good
Maybe
to
ease
know.
Into it a little bit.
Yeah. And I love in your book, Superfood Smoothies, your chia gel.
Yeah.
I love it. It's just chia seeds soaked with water and you just add that mixture into smoothies, right?
It's such a great way to thicken smoothies. I know that like a lot of people, they make smoothies and they're just not quite the same as the smoothies that they would get in a smoothie shop, but it's
yes.
usually a textural thing. And so there's tons of ways to thicken a smoothie, you know, using different fruits and ice and frozen food and whatnot. But chia gel is a really great low calorie and obviously very superfood rich way to do that. And it's exactly what you said. You're just combining chia seeds with water. And the chia seeds have a ton of this stuff called mucilage in them. Very unattractive sounding term.
Yeah.
But it's essentially the stuff that all plants have to help them absorb and retain water. So chia seeds are like any other plant, they just contain a lot more of this mucilage. And so you can actually see the mucilage in action, very exciting, just by throwing some chia seeds in water, stirring it together. And within just a few minutes, the chia seeds will form this kind of gelatinous shell around themselves. And when you get lots of those chia seeds with this shell all together, it creates kind of like this jelly-like texture that's very, very useful in all different types of cooking applications.
I love it. I love it. It's so cool. And it's just easy to keep in your fridge and just add to things.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Exactly. And it's really weird and fun to eat.
Yes, I agree with both of those things. So we're only on C, and I know that you have a day to get back to. So I'm going to skip. Well, okay, we'll skip flaxseed because I feel like that's pretty common these days. Should we hit golden berries or goji berries?
I mean, both are so good, but I would say if we're going to hit one of those G berries, like we should go with goji.
Yeah. Cause the rest of the info, I mean, no one can get as animated of a response in your books, but your books, I think every one of them explains the superfoods, right?
Yes. That was really important to me because I know that not every single person is going to start the series in the same place.
Yes.
And so in every single book, I do take you through what these superfoods are, why they're so good for you, and then how those superfoods can apply to the recipes that are in the book. And with each of the books being on a different subject matter, yes, it actually does create for quite different information.
It's so fun. It is just, I mean, it's brilliant in terms of like both branding and also just helping people incorporate more superfoods, because literally you do have a book for every type of food consumption, I guess. You don't have desserts yet, though.
I have the snacks book, which is the closest one to the desserts. It does have a lot of sweet treats in there.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's an entire section just on chocolate. So I would think that's probably the closest we'll get to dessert.
Oh, we won't have a full dessert. Well, what's left? I don't even know. I guess salads isn't there yet, fully salads.
I think the next book that I work on is going to obviously include the superfoods, but be a little bit more of bringing it all together from a lifestyle standpoint. So that will be the next thing that's coming down the road.
Superfood life.
Yes.
And then maybe like a small book on superfood dog treats, because I know you have a few of those.
I'm sure my dog would be very excited.
To be the model and the taste tester.
Sure.
Okay. So I guess we'll hit the gojis.
Okay.
So tell me about the gojis, please.
So as I told you, goji berries are one of the first superfoods that I ever tried.
Yeah.
And I was so enamored with them that, you know, back when I first tried them, you really couldn't find them anywhere. And I did manage to find them in one place in Los Angeles. And at that time, just to give you an idea of how markets can change, I found a small jar of them for $40. Yes. And I so remember bringing this jar home and like only eating a couple of goji berries at a time.
It's like truffles.
I was like a college student and I'm buying $40 bottles of goji berries.
Wow.
I'm like, well, there's my week's worth of food.
Oh my God. That's a dedication right there.
But I will tell you why I still believe they're worth it. Maybe not $40, but they're really worth
it. And they don't cost it anymore.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's obviously no such thing as a perfect food, but I would say that goji berries get really, really close to being a perfect food. And I say this because they have, first of all of the major macronutrients in them. So they have a little bit of protein, which is super rare for berry. It's actually a complete protein.
What?
They have a little bit of antioxidant-rich fat from the edible seeds that are on the inside, and they have low sugar carbohydrates. But that's just the macronutrients. Mm-hmm. In terms of micronutrients, they have over 20 vitamins and minerals in them, more vitamin C than oranges, more beta carotene than carrots, more iron than soybeans or spinach. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And they taste good.
Yeah.
And they have huge amounts of antioxidants in them. They've been studied for cardiovascular health, for eye health, for brain health. I mean, the studies just abound when it comes to the power of goji berries. So I really believe goji berries are one of those superfoods where if you even have the smallest superfood pantry that you're starting, get some goji berries in there. That would be a staple. Like, start with like chia seeds and some goji berries. Like, okay. Like that. That's
that was a question I had for you.
Really solid place to start. You know, like goji berries are absolutely amazing. They taste kind of like a cross between a cranberry and a raisin.
Yeah, but you can use them sweeter.
Just as you would use raisins.
I guess raisins same are sweeter. Way. Yeah. Yeah, they're great. They're so great. So what do you love to do with them? I mean, obviously, again, you could sprinkle it on a smoothie bowl. You could blend it in a smoothie, right? Can you bake with them or will that destroy the nutrients?
It will destroy some of the nutrients, but certainly not all. I find that goji berries aren't the best when they're baked because when they're saturated with any type of moisture, they actually lose their flavor a little bit.
Oh.
They will kind of spread out their flavor into whatever it is that they are immersed in. But from a baked recipe standpoint, just think about like when you bite into a blueberry muffin, right? Mm-hmm. And you get the blueberries become extra juicy and extra flavorful. And that's kind of what you look for. The goji berries, they become actually less flavorful. Their flavor will be subtly in the muffin, but you won't really taste it. So it's a little bit disappointing. So baking is not my favorite way. However, what I do love about goji berries is they can actually go either savory or sweet. Sweet is the easier one to think about. You can use them in a lot of different types of desserts that are like raw desserts, in a lot of different smoothie bowls. You can put them on as all types of toppings for like an ice cream sundae, et cetera. Savory is probably the more exciting one on my end. I think goji berries elevate recipes because most recipes benefit from a slight sweetness, which the goji berries can provide. So they're incredibly good in sauces. And as I really found out from my very last book, Superfood Soups, they are amazing in soups. In fact, goji berries are so wonderful in soup, I almost had to hold back from including them in all of my soups because
people would think it's
wonderful.
Wow.
You can either leave them whole and they have this really nice texture and they kind of flavor the broth a little bit, or you can, if you're having a blended soup, you can just blend them right in and that little bit of savory sweetness that we talked about goes so beautifully with all different types of soup varieties.
Perfect. Yeah, your Superfood Soups book is amazing. I've already made a few soups from it. I can't tell you what they are. I don't know why I don't remember. Because what I did was I pre-ordered it as I did all your books, and it came, and I literally flagged pretty much every other recipe in the book. So I remember like just getting super pumped about every superfood soup in the book. And I know I made a bunch, but like, I can't remember. I think I made a creamy broccoli one.
That's definitely one that's in there.
Yeah.
It's a very, very popular one. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was one of the go-tos.
And I think I made a sweet potato one too, or butternut squash.
Yes. Yes, there's both of those.
Oh, man, obviously. No, I'm like
and
making myself look so bad.
Goji berries in it, right?
I probably did. I don't remember, but everything's so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so maca, another one of your first superfoods, which actually was one of my first superfoods. And I'm obsessed with the flavor of maca. It's amazing. So talk to us briefly about maca and your favorite way to eat it, please.
I love that you love the flavor of maca.
So
I have to admit, when I first tried maca, I wasn't super enamored, and I combined it with all of the wrong things.
Mm.
And by wrong things, in case you're wondering, I mean like don't put maca in your orange juice, for example. Like maca is not a good friend to any type of citrus or really most fruits for that matter.
Right.
But maca has this really beautiful kind of earthy butterscotch flavor to it that goes exceptionally well with any type of chocolate or nuts or creamy fruits like bananas.
Banana. That's why I love it, because I always just have it in like a banana smoothie or in like a date nut ball.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's perfect.
It's so delicious. Yeah. And now, like you, I absolutely rave the flavor of it. It's its own flavor, truly.
Yes, it's such a good one.
It's such a good one. And like we talked about in the beginning, it is truly an energy food at its core. Maca is a very special type of food because, unlike the other superfoods that we've talked about today, its potency and its nutrition isn't really measured so much in terms of the type of micronutrients that most of us are accustomed to. Like, you're not going to sit there and look at the back of a package of maca powder and say, like, wow, look at this vitamin A content. It's mostly these micronutrients called phytochemicals that maca is so explosive in. Mm. And these phytochemicals are all helping to help out the adrenal glands tremendously. Mm. So maca is a part of a really special class of foods known as adaptogens. And only one in 4,000 plants is considered an adaptogen. So it's a pretty cool thing. And basically what these adaptogens do is they help support our body. They work with our body to actually even out and balance the imbalances that exist in terms of energy and wellness. That's all because of that direct work with our adrenal glands, which control everything from energy to hormones, which play a huge part in how we feel and how we look and how we function throughout the day. So maca is just an adrenal powerhouse. I really do credit maca with being what helped me get over chronic fatigue syndrome. I think it played a huge, huge part in it. And maca is, what's wonderful is that it's not a stimulant. Right. So it's not like coffee that is like this buy now, pay later type of energy where you're going to crash. Maca is actually helping you build your body so that you have energy that's sustainable and it'll make you feel good long term. I mean, yeah. It's like as close to magic as food gets.
And again, it's an M. So Camu with the vitamin C, M, magic. Maca. It's magic meant to maca. Be. So you're a runner. I know that. And is maca one of the superfoods that you rely on to fuel your runs?
Without question.
Okay.
Without question. I tend to rotate my superfoods a little bit for no reason other than it just feels like the right thing to do. I there's so many good superfoods that I like out there and I want all of them.
But yeah.
I'm not going to take 20 different superfoods in one day. So
okay.
In my smoothies, I generally do try and mix it up a little bit. But maca is one of the most consistent superfoods that's in my post-workout smoothie. I just love it.
Yeah. And so along those lines, in terms of not like overdoing it on superfoods, I have one question, which is, can your body kind of become tired of the superfoods, like become immune to them, kind of like, I guess, medication in a way? And B, I guess, two, how many superfoods a day is like too many?
So to answer your first question, your body will not become immune to superfoods because, again, when we break down these superfoods, they're really just foods, and foods are composed of nutrients. Our bodies need nutrients on a daily basis. We need that constant replenishment of nutrients.
Right.
So you're not going to become immune to the nutrients sure. unless you have a serious disease and digestive issue that is a whole nother issue. That wouldn't really be the superfood's fault, so to speak.
Okay.
That said, absolutely you can overdo superfoods.
Okay.
There's no need, frankly, to take massive quantities. And there's always going to be that person who says, you know, like, okay, well, if one teaspoon of maca is what's good for me, then I'm going to take half of a cup.
Right.
And just like go at it. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
Your body will, if it gets an excess of nutrients, at some point, it's just going to stop digesting them and it'll pass right through your body. So it's more of a waste on your
of money.
Yeah, money than anything else.
Okay, well, that answers my question about, you know, how to deal with the fact that superfoods are so expensive, because the bottom line is you don't need a lot of them. So yeah, sure, it might like freak you out how expensive a bag of, you know, cacao or maca is relative to other things you might be normally purchasing. But when you look at it like a teaspoon of maca goes a long way, then you're realizing you're buying a lot of it. It's going to last
Absolutely.
You longer than like a bag of pasta.
I always say cost per serving.
Yes,
figure out the
yes.
cost per serving, and you'll actually be surprised at how small the cost per serving is for many of these superfoods.
I like
that's part of the reason
like
why yeah. in two of my books, including my most recent one, Superfood Soups, I do break down the actual cost per serving per ingredient in one of the soups. So you can really see where the cost is coming from. And these soups, they may seem expensive if you don't have any superfoods in your pantry, but you can get away with just having a few of them at first, and you will be surprised at how inexpensive many of these recipes truly are over the long term.
Okay. Yeah. And two final questions. When you say you can get away with having just a few, what would you say are the first few someone should get? Would that be chia, goji, and maca?
Yeah, I would say chia, goji, maca would be awesome if you can get it. I would say hemp seeds, which we didn't talk about, but are just a great source of protein. And I would try and pick at least one type of greens powder.
I know. So I wanted to talk about spirulina, but we ran out of time.
Oh, that's,
I'm obsessed with it.
It's all good. Spirulina is just an amazing, amazing green algae, blue-green algae, really good for the immune system. And I just feel like the more greens, the better. And yes, we can incorporate a lot of greens into our daily diet through, you know, cooking them or eating them in salads, whatnot. But green powders make getting that quota extra easy. And it's kind of a no excuse plan to get those greens. So whether it's spirulina or wheatgrass or mixed greens powder, just get some kind of greens powder into your daily rotation. You'll be doing yourself such a huge favor, both in energy as well as warding off disease.
Yes, I know you use amazing grass powder, as do I, every morning.
Ah, that's awesome.
My fave.
That's awesome. It's my favorite.
Yeah, so good. And finally, okay, what's your favorite superfood? What's your, like, you're stranded on a deserted island. If you only had one superfood, what would it be?
This is not a fair question.
It's like choosing between your favorite children.
I will just start right there. This is not a fair question. But I would still probably say cacao, just because it's so much fun. It's so delicious. And whenever I use cacao, I'm just reminded that using superfoods is something that is so pleasurable and so fun and so delicious and can be done in such an easy manner. And so it always brings a little bit of that extra joy back into my life whenever I get to use cacao. So I'll stick with that one.
Well, speaking of joy and pleasurable and fun, it's been all of those things speaking with you today. I'm so grateful for your time, and I just love your work. It's really changed my life. And everyone listening, where can they go find everything super that you have to offer besides going to the bookstore or Amazon to buy all five of your books?
Thank you. You can go to my website. It's juliemorris.net. That's Julie Morris with an M, like Mary. And it has information about all of my books in there. I also have a ton of free recipes and articles about superfoods, as well as how to use them, video content, all of that good stuff.
So good. So good. Well, thank you again so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been so much fun.
Well, there you have it. The superfood superwoman herself, Julie Morris, just spilled all the cacao beans. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling super amped to start incorporating some of these powerhouse foods into your life. And I gotta say, start slow. Seriously, this stuff can be super shockingly expensive. And as Julie said, you can build your quote-unquote superfood pantry over time. If you're totally starting from superfood scratch, I'd suggest you first get your hands on chia seeds so you can make my chia pudding, which I linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/24, and simultaneously get amazing grasses, greens powders into your life stat. As a reminder, Amazing Grass, mine and Julie's beloved greens powder, is being amazingly generous to Party in My Plants podcast listeners and is offering you 40%, that's almost 50%, off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use promo code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. You'll also find a link to their site, Julie's books, all the notes from this episode, and so much more that makes healthy living not suck over at partyinmyplants.com/24.